And welcome to a very special edition of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we're going to read our mail and our reviews and our tweets that you, the listeners, have sent to us when we talk about our terrible comic book collection. So thank you so much if you have reached out to us, liked our Facebook page, sent us something on Twitter, etc. So we're going to go ahead and discuss some of these messages. As always, I am Jen.
And I'm Sean.
And let's get into it.
Yeah, let's do this. So yeah, worstcollectionever@gmail.com, Facebook, Twitter, you know, we'll get to all that. So let's just jump right into an email from our good friend Russell Bragg.
Yep, in the DC Comics Presents show.
DC Comics Presents show. And recently he was a guest host, I think, on Back to the Bins.
Oh, indeed.
So you can check him out there. Hello, Merricks. Hope all is well. Sorry, this is titled Tiger Man.
Yes,
he's referring to our Tiger Man episode.
Which we talked about a character named Tiger Man from, I believe, Atlas Comics.
Atlas Comics.
Which was a ridiculous episode.
Yes. Hello, Merricks. Hope all is well. I'm just going to go ahead and, sake of brevity, I'm just going to read a little bit here about, he talks about some wrestling.
Sean's favorite thing.
Says, my notes, I can't remember how he came up, but you mentioned Virgil or Vincent in WCW. I think it was around 2002 that my wife and I saw him at our mall. That's true. You're going to see him at most malls.
Yeah, Virgil. That's all Virgil does.
Hangs out in hallways of places and gets
like
you to
any con.
I have not had the opportunity to be Virgil'd.
Didn't you see him? And then you saw what's his name scratch each in the Cliff Bar and scratch his balls.
I saw the table.
Oh, you didn't actually see.
But
Virgil.
Then I saw. Yeah, then I did see Lou Ferrigno sit eat a Cliff Bar and scratch his balls. I have a
and
picture.
That, I believe, it was at Kamikaze.
That was at, no, it was at Comic-Con.
Oh, was it? No, I thought I was there.
No, it was a big, much bigger thing. Dude Frigno's not scratching his balls at Kamikaze.
But he lives here.
Yeah, but, you know, he can find his way to other places. I think it was at Comic-Con.
You mean he has access to transport?
Yeah.
Ah, yeah.
Well, he says he's the Hulk. He just leaps really far.
Oh, I see.
That's what he does. Unfortunately, we were too scared to go up to meet him. Well, you know what, Russell?
He would have charged him money.
You would have been very disappointed. You're better off not having.
Yeah, he'd have been like, you can talk to me because
you can admire him from afar. You can admire him from afar and remember his career, but from what I understand, it's, you know, it's good. It's quite the conversation to have with Virgil. Apparently, he has a thing he likes to call fuck money, and he uses that fuck money that he makes from conventions and everything to go eat at Olive Garden. Olive Garden is his favorite restaurant, him and Randy Savage.
Randy Savage is dead.
Randy Savage loved Olive Garden, though.
Hmm, interesting.
Being an Italian, too.
Fuck, man?
His dad was straight Italian, and he's like,
In fairness, I will say Olive Garden has such a fantastic salad and breadstick combo. And their minestrone's not bad.
Yeah.
I'll give him that. And their chicken parmesan's okay. So I could see that if he was really jonesing.
Back to his email. It is a big regret of mine, along with not seeing Ric Flair at our Walmart.
That would be exciting.
Yeah.
Could you imagine Ric Flair in a Walmart just probably buying all the hair dye?
Well, he was
just
there signing
all the
stuff.
Lady Clairol, all the blonde, super platinum. Just put it right in the cart.
I've met Ric Flair before. He seems very much like he's like, yeah, all right, woo, all right,
woo.
Yeah, woo. I believe he was in TNA at the time. I have never been to a comic book convention, but I've been thinking about it recently. I found out that West Virginia has their own, and come this June, it will be 5 years. I just don't know how I'd fare with the excessive crowds.
Oh.
It may come down to what. Famous names appear, which hasn't been announced yet. It's sort of confusing the state of.
Oh, that's, you know, and then we start talking about the rights. But I do want to address the comic book.
Well, let me just say, he goes on to discuss Atlas Comics, you know, a little bit, and talk about the history.
Yes,
It's very big history.
Yes,
he does also assure us that there are squirrels in Asia.
Well, that's good. Did
flight.
We not know that there were squirrels in Asia?
I think we were questioning the existence of squirrels in Asia.
Good. So I wanted just to say, before we start talking about the comic, so Russell, you mentioned that you've never been to a comic convention because there are so many people. I am an introvert to my core. I have severe social anxiety. I do not like to be in crowds. Ask Sean.
Yes.
So to me, when we first went to a comic book convention, the idea of it was a nightmare. Because, oh my God, what the hell? There's so many fucking people. And there are. But I will say, if you are like me and you don't like to be around crowds and you're not a big people person and you're an introvert, I would recommend making a plan. So what I mean by that is just being like, looking at the schedule online, figuring out what you want to do, if you want to cosplay, cool. But then also just being like, if I'm overwhelmed, I've found a place where I can like go and there's not as many people. Yeah. So if it's outside, maybe you see a little shady spot.
Yeah.
Maybe you know that across the hall there's a Starbucks you can go stop, you know, because a lot of hotels have Starbucks. You can go grab a coffee. You can kind of hang out where there's not as many people. And if you're feeling overwhelmed, that's a really good way to manage it. That's how I do it.
Yeah, make sure that, you know, just for if it's anxiety and stuff that kind of, if you're just a little bit tense about it,
yeah,
make sure you're hydrated.
Yes.
Make sure, you know, make sure you have things to keep you level.
Just know what you need. Make sure you're hydrated. If you know that, man, it's going to be a little bit too overwhelming to go by that really busy booth right now, come back to it a little later. Maybe it will slow down.
It'll dissipate.
Like that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's what I have to do whenever we go to these things, because there's a tremendous amount of people and just the energy is just so overwhelming. And it takes me a lot of energy just to like deal with that many people.
Yeah.
So, you know, definitely have a plan. Know where you can, like, oh, I know where the bathroom is. I know where the bathroom that not as many people use is. Might take you a little bit to find that out, but it can work.
Yeah.
So I would definitely encourage you to go. Don't be discouraged by the fact that there's just, like, a shit ton of people. Because it can be really fun. It's just that you have to sort of manage it and do it in your own way.
We're all in it together.
Yeah.
And everybody's really cool. People are usually really cool.
Yeah, and they're really cool. Because most people, I mean, most comic book people are like, dude, I don't want to fucking talk to you either. So so you don't have to worry about like...
They say, like, I don't fucking talk to you.
Fuck you, man. But yeah, I mean, it can be really overwhelming to be in a place with that many people.
Yeah, especially...
But it's okay. You can manage it and you can do it. And if it helps, set a time limit. Be like, we're not going to do, you know, a marathon, you know, till it opens, till it closes. Be like, oh, maybe we'll just do it for 2 hours and then we'll meet somewhere outside and then we'll go grab a coffee and we'll come back and do another hour or, you know, whatever it is. But kind of like manage it, because when you look at it in like, for me anyway, when I look at it in like smaller chunks, I'm like, oh, I can do this for 90 minutes. I can do this for an hour. But when it's this open-ended, just expanse of time, like that's horrifying to me.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I've had it in the past where it's like, you know, you go to like Comic-Con and, you know, you're just walking around and you're uncomfortable and you're just, there's a lot of people and you don't really, you kind of don't really know what you want to see and you know, you don't really, you know, it's disappointing sometimes, because then you're just like, I don't want to be here, and you don't want to really have to spend all that effort to go something like that and not, and get disappointed by it when they're just because of the being overwhelming. So just go in and just take it easy.
Yeah.
And don't, you know, just gonna be like, okay, you know what? I think I might just go look for action figures, or I might go look for some trades.
Yeah.
You know, and depending on how many days it is, usually if it's a weekend, I've always found that a convention is usually the busiest on a Saturday.
Yes.
Sundays are usually very busy too, but Sundays are the best days to go for deals.
Yeah, because they don't want to cart their stuff home.
Yeah, they want
to
sell it.
Those vendors want to sell it, so you might be able to get a better deal. Their trades might be cheaper.
Yeah.
Their comics might be cheaper. And then the other thing I was going to say, bring your own water. Because they will charge you like $9,000 for bottled water.
Yeah. It's
like, so bring your own water.
Which is, again, goes back to being hydrated.
Yeah.
Just keep yourself good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's so you can do it, Russell.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I hope you do.
And
I hope you do, and I hope you tell us about it.
You and the wife, please go and please tell us about it. Take pictures. Tell us.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you get to meet some cool people, you know, and maybe if not, just you get to fill some of those holes in that DC Comics Presents thing. If I recall correctly, Russell, I believe you do not have all of them.
Oh shit.
So you need to get yourself to a place where they have them.
Yeah.
And get that show back up and running.
but you can do it, man.
Yeah, so, you can do it. Yeah, we're pulling for you, buddy.
Yeah, totally. So,
just finishing Russell's email. And by the way, all these emails are from Russell.
Thank you, Russell.
Are just from Russell. We have some other correspondence, but all these emails are from Russell. So we're gonna share those. On to the comic, of course. I don't have Tiger Man number one. Never heard of Tiger Man either, but it was very interesting. Too bad the series only goes 3 issues. Well,
I don't know about too bad. I think it's okay.
I think it was just enough. You nicknamed Tiger Man's alter ego Dr. Lancaster Hill as Lanny. I was very surprised Sean didn't add Leaping to that and get Leaping Lanny Hill. Yeah, I know. I could have done that. That's a Another Macho Man reference, Macho Man's brother Leaping Landy Poffo.
Oh.
Who probably also loved
Olive Garden.
Olive Garden.
Everybody fucking loves Olive Garden, man.
I met Landy Poffo before. He was very nice.
Yeah. Does he sound like that?
Oh, no. Right. Landy Poffo tells poems and he's very like, "Oh, I'm Landy Poffo." He's a complete antithesis of Andy Green.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I'll have to show you some Landy Poffo.
Interesting.
It's completely, he is not anything like Randy. You wouldn't even think they were brothers.
No, I really wouldn't, because, man, I'll tell you, when we went, because there was this show recently here in L.A., and it's run by Ron Funches, who is on Powerless, actually, and he likes to get high, but he's also a wrestling fan, so he has a show at the Cine Family down here called Let's Get High and Watch Wrestling.
It's just Get High and Watch Wrestling.
Oh, Get High and Watch
Wrestling.
Like,
that's his gimmick, is like,
so,
Get High, Watch Wrestling.
Him and the host, his co-host, who is X-Pac, former
wrestler.
I
think just for this one, it was X-Pac, and then he brings out some other wrestling fans.
And then he's got other wrestling fans.
Yeah, Brian Posehn, who I did not know was a wrestling fan.
Oh, I don't know how you didn't know that. I knew that.
That's ridiculous. I'm ashamed.
But he gets, you know, people, famous people from around town who love wrestling and love weed, and they all get high and they watch wrestling, mm-hmm. and you, the crowd, can partake if you want to get high. We do not, but you can get high and also watch wrestling, or just watch wrestling.
Yeah.
But they played, the very first thing that they played was this weird clip of Randy Savage at home, like by a pool, and he was just like trying to talk to Mean Gene. He was like, "Oh yeah," like the gesticulating, and it was ridiculous.
It was classic Randy Savage.
Ridiculous.
It's classic Randy Savage. It's fantastic. It's basically like when he first came to the WWF.
And it was crazy.
And he was kind of like this hot free agent, and he was like, "I need a manager, so he's gonna be my manager." And then he just all of a sudden was like, "It's my wife. It's Elizabeth," you know?
Yeah.
Which, you know, they were already married at that time.
Yeah.
But then they got married in wrestling a couple years later, towards the end. And then they got divorced like a year later after they got married on TV.
What, like real divorced?
They got real divorced after they got fake married.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So anyway. So Landy Poffo was nothing like that.
Interesting.
You have to show you. Landy Poffo was a very... I have met the guy before, and all I remember is after he finished wrestling, he walked around in his trunks and a shirt.
Uh-huh.
He had like these powder blue trunks and a shirt, and he wore flip-flops, and he walked around with a computer, and because he was looking for somewhere to plug in and do internet.
That's funny.
Yeah.
All right, good story.
Cool story, Sean.
great story, Sean.
Since there are only three, I may track down these someday to add to my collection. As we message back and forth, they are quite expensive, so I'm in no rush. I think they were...
Oh, that's right. He said he'd found them on like eBay or something.
Yeah, how much did he tell us they were?
Oh, I don't remember. They were expensive. They were like $5 a piece or something. And I was like, I'm not...
Expensive for Tiger Man.
Well, yeah, and for us. We don't spend more than $1 on comics.
Right. All right, so let's get to the next email here.
All right, so this one is titled Wolverine. So we had a Wolverine episode, and Russell says, "Hello, Merricks." Hello. He says, "My notes, I too don't like the character of Damian Wayne." Good, fuck Damian Wayne. The type of son I think Batman should have was displayed in the imaginary stories during the Bronze Age. If you remember the Super Sons, Superman Jr. and Batman Jr., you know what I mean. And oh yes, I do. And actually, I have an issue that I really want us to read for the show. Featuring the Super Sons, featuring where they go to like a village full of women and they're just creeps. It's really great.
Yeah, we haven't messed with the Super Sons and what World's Finest in a minute.
Yes.
So we'll get
back
to that.
Fuck Damian Wayne, because he is horrible. He's even mean to Alfred. How can you be mean to Alfred? So fuck that little shit. So Zatanna, we were talking about Zatanna as well. He says, as for Zatanna's power set, I'm also familiar with her during the Bronze Age when she was just an illusionist for discovering her quote real powers. As a Justice League member, powers were diminished so that she could only control the four earth elements: air, earth, fire, and water. I did not know this. She'd later regain the power she lost in World's Finest number 277. How her powers are after Crisis on Infinite Earth today, I have no idea. So then on to the comic Wolverine. He says, I have no Wolverine or X-Men comics in my collection, which actually I find surprising. But if you're a DC guy, I get it. I have very few Marvels in my personal collection. Most of our Marvel comics belong to Sean.
Well, yeah, 100% of them do pretty much.
No, not 100. I've bought like a She-Hulk and stuff, so there's a couple in there that are
true.
Mine.
Yeah.
Most of them are yours, though. Yeah. That Spider-Woman was mine. As a matter of fact, I have very little Marvel comics at all. The largest part of my Marvel collection is What If, but I did enjoy Wolverine number 58. I would definitely pick that up the next one to see what happens. For some reason, I always get Jubilee and Rogue confused. Well, that happens.
They're both sassy.
It's much easier for me for... I don't get them confused, but I like Rogue a whole lot more.
Oh, yeah, I can't stand Jubilee.
Even in the cartoon, I didn't like Jubilee. Yeah. Even when I was supposed to be Jubilee's age, I didn't like Jubilee.
Oh, no, yeah, I was never into her.
No. I had forgotten you talked about Terror... because Terror Inc. was in our Wolverine comic. He says, I forgot you talked about him before. It's a unique power set, being able to replace limbs at will. It's not a power I'd want, but neat nonetheless.
I'll take it. You know what? If I could do it, I'd take it.
Would you have, like, super buff arms? And just, like, regular you?
But I'd have to get, like, dead super buff arms. So I'd have to find, like, you know, Lou Ferrigno.
Would you just have to, like, run over a bodybuilder?
Yeah. Like, I'd have to find whatever transportation Lou Ferrigno is using. But take, like, him out.
So do you have, like, regular Sean body and the, like, humongously buff arms?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So that's that email. Thank you, Russell. Thank you for sending that in.
Let's see here, Russell.
I'm now imagining you, like, just like waiting in a car outside a bodybuilding convention just to, like, run dudes down.
Building convention.
They have them.
I know they do.
Competition.
Competition. It's like, yeah, I'm just revving my car, like, it's like, hey, you want to put his arm in my body? I don't want that. Okay, Russell, JLA versus Animals. Talking about our Justice League of America.
Yeah, this is the one we did when we were in Buffalo.
We did that in Buffalo. He does give me condolences for my grandmother's passing. Thank you, Russell. After watching the Justice League trailer, I'm still not sure if I want to see the movie. I go back and forth on Wonder Woman 2.
Yeah.
I just don't think DC has what it takes to make movies like Marvel does. Why do they have to be so dark? I don't know, Russell. I wish we knew that.
He does clarify. This is visually, like Jen says, not story-wise.
Exactly. I mean, like, just put a fucking light
That's
in there
the thing,
somewhere.
I just want to be able to see what's happening in front of my face.
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking for. I just want to be able to see a dude punch another dude without being like, wait, what just happened?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Personally, I have no problems when you talk politically.
Ha ha, win.
We have a boob in the White House, so why not admit it to the world? Well, you know, I mean, yeah.
We get a boob. I like that.
You know what? Yeah, thank you for calling him a boob.
Because you know what? That's the most accurate description.
He's literally just a useless boob.
Boob. It's boob.
He's just a boob. Like, not fun boob. He's a sad, useless boob.
And was there, like, categories? It's like fun boobs are over here, and then useless
fun
boob.
Boobs are on women. Useless boob. Sad boobs are the fucking...
Are just people who are boobs.
People just fucking boobs. your comic was Justice League of America 223, which I have too. Oh, good. So you read along with us. Or maybe you did. I don't know. In fact, I have the whole storyline, which I need to get that.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned this on the show, but the older Justice League of Americas, the ones towards the end.
Yeah.
I just dig. There's some weirdness going on in those, and I just dig them because that's when things start falling apart. I bet PETA had trouble with the cover, huh? Well.
I'm trying to remember what the cover
was. It was a bunch of them beating up cat people.
Oh, yeah. I remember that now. Yeah. Like, weird cat dog people.
But those cat people were going to hurt them.
Well, true. That was the whole point of the book.
When you have superheroes beating up animals, you also have a problem.
Unless they're animal... They're people animals.
People animals, yeah. I'm trying to get all the Justice League of America comics. Yeah, no, I think me too. That's on Sean's list. That's a long-term goal that I haven't pursued yet. I have all 10 DC archives. Yeah, good. That's where I need to start.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get all the comics beyond that, which is 93 to 261. I think I'm more than halfway to my goal. The story was a hoot. Don't pollute. And you did a fine job covering it. I can't wait for the next episode. Take care. Russell Bragg, DC Comics Presents Show.
Thanks, Russell.
Yeah, thanks, man. I will get all those too. But I have to do like you and get those first 92 issues and those books.
Get the DC Archive collection, right?
Yeah. No, I say I just need my fancy collections.
So yeah. So our last email is from Russell again, and it's Spider Woman. So we talked about Spider Woman, I think, a couple two episodes ago. Yeah. He says, hello, great show as always. Sorry I'm not remembering if you talked about it before, but have you cosplayed before, or do you have any ideas but haven't pulled the trigger yet?
You should just go ahead and talk about that.
So I kind of cosplayed once, where I sort of dressed like Catwoman. But, like, it was kind of, like, a very, like, almost just, like, a... just a general like woman walking around with cat ears, because I want to do a bunch of elaborate stuff, but I don't really have the skills, like the sewing or the craft skills, to go ahead and do that yet, and I'm not sure if I'm comfortable enough cosplaying to do something like that. But I just had, like, you know, pants and boots on, and I had a whip, and I wore my leather jacket, and I had gloves, and, like, I had cat ears and, like, crazy fucking makeup on, like a lot of mascara and, like, four pairs of lashes or something crazy. But it was fun and I enjoyed it, and I did have goggles and, like, a little hat, so it was kind of like if she was just, like, a regular woman riding a motorcycle, like, back in the 20s, I guess.
Yeah, biker cat woman.
Kind of biker cat woman. So yeah, I would love to I actually would love to do Wonder Woman. I want to do Wonder Woman in her ceremonial garb. So, yeah. Like, the white...
her funeral garb.
Almost like her funeral garb. So, like, that, like, kind of like the white Grecian robe with the gladiator sandals and, like, the big crown headpiece type of thing. Like, I want to do that Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, that seems really complicated. Like, with the shield and the sword and, like, the bracers and the whole thing. Like, I would like to do that one.
Yeah.
And the big hair, like, all curly and stuff. So I would love to do that Wonder Woman. It's just like, man, that's a lot of fucking work.
My goal, which I think we were talking about this today, actually, about how I might want to try some cosplay for my first time. But I don't want... my cousin, who is a cosplay pro... she was like, look, don't do something crazy for your first time. Just do something simple till you can feel comfortable doing it. And I think I might be over exerting myself in this one, but I want to do Metamorpho.
I don't know about... I think this one would be kind of easy for a first one.
But it's something more... but first of all, you have to sew the clothes together.
But I think if we just... because you were saying if you want to do Metamorpho, obviously he has that, like... half of his
shirt
top is yellow and the other one's purple, and the pants are the same way. I think that might be one of the easier ones to do.
Well, as far as, like, creating a, like, an outfit, yeah, I think,
because
it might be.
Yeah, we can...
because you could do that with, like, sweatpants.
Yeah,
and
we just sew it together and, like, do a thing. You just get
boots. Can actually achieve quite a bit of comfort.
Yeah, and you'd be comfortable.
Yeah.
It might not be... it's not going to look the best. I mean, it's going to be passable. It's
but
not
you could say,
like,
the
oh
thing
my
is,
God. Like, people are going to know you're Metamorpho.
That's the thing.
Especially
is
if,
like,
you do, like, the white head.
We do the white head. You do the... you know, maybe do a little bit of makeup, and then you have a belt and stuff like that. And maybe if you put, like, you know, one hand's got, like, an orange mace on it. I mean, you know, maybe... or just figure something out, you know.
Yeah, gloves or something.
Something silly. Because he makes things with his hands.
Sure. And, like, if you did something like that, I think people would be able to tell that you were Metamorpho. It's not going to be the best looking Metamorpho. It's not going to be like, oh my God, this is amazing. But it's definitely going to be passable. Yeah. And I think that's the thing about cosplay, is you really can do from, like, the lowest, like, I bought this at Target, to, like, the insane shit that they do at, like, Dragon Con.
Yeah.
Like, we saw a picture today from, like, C2E2 where somebody did Groot, and that thing had to have been 9 feet tall. Like,
well,
this
there
was
like
a crazy thing. And then the man thing.
It was awesome.
It was, yeah, and it was like this person had, like, they were, had the mask was built perfectly, but they were, like, covered in, like, moss and stuff. It was crazy what they did for this. It was really great, but, like, I don't think I have those skills, at least not now.
I need, like, a garage.
Yeah, that's the thing. We don't have the room for it either. If we had a garage, it'd be different, because we could go out and, like, you know, sand stuff. I don't know what you have to do for that.
Yeah.
So yeah, but, I think I'd like to do a little bit more cosplaying. Congrats on squeezing in the Crystal Gale hair reference. Sean's been working on that for a while.
Yep.
As far as I know, it's still as long as it ever was, and I think we looked that up, and I believe that is true.
Yeah, she's still rocking it.
I don't think she'd be recognizable without it. I agree. I remember my dad was just always like, oh man, look at Crystal Gale's hair. And I was like, it goes to her feet. I'm confused. And he says, okay, so for some reason, I have a very clear memory of talking about Crystal Gale with my dad in a McDonald's. I don't know why.
Was Mary McCheese with a big wig somewhere?
Yes.
Oh, it's a special promotion with Ronald McGale.
Buy a fish fillet.
Ronald McGale.
Ronald McGale.
He had really long hair. But he's still dressed like Ronald McDonald, just had really long hair.
Just all the way down to his feet.
Yeah.
I was very young, and I feel like it must have been during Lent, because that was really one of the only times we ever went to McDonald's, so my mom get a fish fillet.
Yeah, you're not really... your family doesn't seem like a McDonald's family.
We're not really a McDonald's family, because it... I think it was one of those where we're like out late, we had to do this, but it was Lent, so we had to, you know, we're Catholics. Because usually during Lent, we would go to Red Lobster. Oh, man, on a Friday. But anyway, so yeah, for some reason, I just have this image, this very clear memory of my dad just talking about Crystal Gale. But anyway, on to my notes. As a, quote, DC guy. Yeah, me too. I, of course, don't have Spider-Woman number 8. I have contemplated trying to collect the series in the last year, depending on how long it goes for. For those of you that listen to my show, the DC Comics Presents show, I do a segment called The Spinner Rack to see what other comics were out at the same time as the DC Comics Presents issue I'm covering. Anyway, I come across Spider-Woman title quite a lot, and the covers are very interesting. Now, as a comic collector, I know great covers don't necessarily mean a great story, but I have been thinking lately of collecting this comic series. I do remember watching the Spider-Woman cartoon on Saturday mornings as a kid. I have no recollection of the
cartoon.
I'm
drawing a blank on that, too. I feel like I need to do some research, because maybe they had, like, a short.
Maybe. I remember the Spider-Man cartoon.
But they had, like, even before the 90s one, they had, like... Even before the Super Friends,
yeah,
the ones they did, because they had the one where it was like Spider-Man and his buddies, and it was like Iceman and Firestar and whatever. Mm-hmm. But then they also had like some just random shorts they would do in the 60s and late 60s, 70s or whatever, and maybe that was a part of it.
I'm
going to have to look that up.
But yeah, I'm going to have to check that out.
I mean, Spider-Woman as Julia Carpenter did appear in the Iron Man series, the animated series from the 90s, but this is not the same one.
Yeah. He says, but I remember watching the Spider-Woman cartoon on Saturday mornings as a kid, but that is my only connection with the character. I looked up our antagonist as well, and according to the Marvel Wiki, he stayed dead with occasional flashbacks. Well, that's good. I'm glad he actually got to die.
Occasional flashbacks, where she's like, was she flashbacks?
She was just like, I wonder if that guy's still hanging out.
Is that guy still dead? Did anybody find him?
Spider-Woman number 8 was a pretty goofy story.
Because you think you'd want to do some science on him to figure out how he lives forever.
Curse.
How he lives forever by being yelled at by a woman. Because that's literally how he's like...
Shit, you are never going to die.
I know, that's the thing. He just gets yelled at by a woman. She's like, you're going to live forever. And he's like, all right, I guess I'm living forever.
If all it took to live forever is you getting yelled at by a woman, you are never dying.
I think men would never die.
I don't. My dad would be alive forever. Are you kidding? It's like never ending my dad. My mom loves to yell at people, including me. So Spider-Woman number 8 was a pretty goofy story. And I mean that both stories were goofy. Between the two, I think I like the haunted suit story better. Me too. I may have missed you saying it, but according to the Marvel Wiki, Gunter Malone was in the employ of the Kingpin. So that was the guy who died, and that was his haunted suit.
Oh, okay. So he was actually some schmuck that actually did work in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, and he worked for the Kingpin.
Well, thank you, Russell, for finding that out for me, because I wouldn't have figured that out otherwise.
I wonder if Marcus Evanier decided to keep the suit and get it sewn up and cleaned up. Well, I certainly hope so. If he kept it, I sure hope he sewed up those bullet holes.
Yeah, I certainly hope he took it to a tailor and was like, can you fix this?
Can you maybe get the blood out of this?
Or just throw it out. Just throw it out.
The entire back of my suit is covered in blood. Could you help me?
Mm-hmm.
Hydrogen peroxide gets blood out, just FYI.
But it also gets other color out, doesn't it?
Depends on the color.
It's basically like bleach, right?
Kind of, yeah. It doesn't all the time, but you can definitely... gets some blood out of stuff with hydrogen peroxide.
Yeah.
Not all of it, but yeah.
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 So that's it. Yeah.
So thank you, Russell.
Yeah, this was a fun issue and thoroughly enjoyed your coverage. Thanks, Russell.
Thank you, Russell.
All right, let's take a break real quick. We'll come back with the rest of these correspondences. Stick around.
It was 1938. The country continues its slow recovery from the Great Depression, while war clouds loom throughout Asia and German aggression builds in Europe. Americans seek comfort and distraction. It was a time when the most popular form of entertainment was radio. But a new form had been growing steadily and was set to explode. It was to become the golden age of the American comic book.
My name is Chris.
And my name is Mike. Please join us as we explore comics in the golden age between 1938 and 1955. All genres will be discussed, from superheroes to crime, horror, science fiction, humor, and western.
So join us for the Comics in the Golden Age podcast, available through iTunes and Stitcher, and visit us on Facebook or at comicsinthegoldenage.com.
Okay, we're back here on Worst Collection Ever, our Correspondence Edition. Let's get into some. Let's get into some Twitter.
Yeah,
a lot of this is from from my Twitter. I don't know if anything's from your Twitter.
I have a few. I can pull up.
Well, I'll go through all the stuff that's on my Twitter. And this is actually kind of going back a ways because last time we did one of these was
mid-February. We should probably do these once a month.
Yeah, and we're already like 2 months out. So there's like a lot of random correspondences here and there that I would like to account for here. It'd be appropriate. Let's see here. This is from my Twitter at AngryHeroSean, S-H-A-W-N on Twitter. We've got at About to Review, John. That's his podcast, About to Review. He said, I listened to this yesterday and really enjoyed the amount of laughter at the dumbest, parentheses, best romance comic. Thanks, John. Yeah, he's a cool cat, I think, from the Northwest who enjoys our show now. So I'm going to have to, maybe we'll have to hook up with him at some point.
Yeah.
Also, let's see, I'll just say shout-outs. These basically mean likes and retweets. So at Crazy Famous Film, our good friend Nick at LaneIt360 has a number of comments. He says, I forgot where this episode this is from, about the one where we said, parentheses, what's it called when you get off watching the poor
dot? That was the one we did in Buffalo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the Justice League.
So he says, what's it called when you get off watching the poor people die? I said Republicans at the same time Jen Sansfield did. Nick also shared with us pictures of Darkhawk and Wonder Man action figures.
Those were really cool. That Darkhawk one I didn't even know existed.
No, I know. There's not a lot of Darkhawk stuff out there. A lot of Darkhawk materials and stuff like that, you know, or like merchandise.
Yeah, no, that was really cool looking too.
I kind of want that.
Yeah, I did too. I was like, oh, that's nice.
The Wonder Man I do have, which I kind of just realized recently that the Wonder Man is actually I think he's some sort of Wizard exclusive.
Mm.
So it's from,
cause it's no, but toy, you have the new Wonder Man though, the one they just put out. You have that one,
I have three Wonder Mans.
Yeah. I know we've talked about the one.
The one he took a picture of was the one I bought. And I bought that at Mile High.
Yes. Okay.
I found that one. That one's a, I think it's a Wizard Toy Biz exclusive.
Yeah.
That I've got my hands on. Because I have that. I have another Toy Biz one, which is the World's Mightiest Heroes one, which is supposed to light up his fists, and it doesn't work, and I need a battery for it. And then I got the one that just came out with regard to the Marvel Legends. So I got my hookup on that.
And then I did want to say he also shared with me a coloring book. It's a coloring book for goths.
Yes.
And because I mentioned how the Daystar is evil, and he agrees with me because it is evil. And I want that coloring book. I have to buy it now. I need it in my life. So thank you, Nick, for pointing that out for me. I am going to buy that soon.
Let's see here. Nighttime Foam Corner at WWNTFCD. At Comic Reflection, our buddy Nick Prom, who has a fine podcast you should check out. He's been giving us some love via promos on his podcast.
Definitely.
And is very supportive of us. At Mazing. Mazinger 1978, buddy of Nick's. Nick turned him on to the show, and he loves our show. He said, your Karate Kid WCW episode was hysterical.
Oh,
he also said, with regard to the Republicans quip we just talked about, he said, and I think that was my favorite part of the episode. And he also says that I need a Downtown Dracula movie.
I think everybody does. We've got to actually write it.
Yeah. His reference to our Downtown Dracula reference from last week with the man in the cape.
Maybe you can have a walking stick.
Yes. at I'm the Gun. And that's all. I am the Gun on Twitter. He has been very supportive as well, saying at Great JLTF Ep, I enjoyed this series despite the zero hour side effect, comma triumph. And then he goes on to say, if 0 hour were medication, some small print on the bottle might read, warning, might may cause triumph. Triumph, who fell down the mall.
Yeah, that shaft.
The shaft mall to go to Dick's Sporting Goods.
That's right. Oh, he was really trying to get to Godiva.
He was trying to get that chocolate.
Yeah, who isn't?
Big shout out this from our buddy at the Quarterbin Podcast, Professor Allen. He is at relatively_geek on Twitter, and he's talked about our show a bunch on his podcast because, you know, we are kindred comic book spirits.
Yes.
So thank you for that, Professor Allen. Batgirl to Oracle, Stella from that show. Mm-hmm. That's a podcast that discusses Batgirl to Oracle.
Yeah.
So she supported us. At Comic Noobs Show. N-O-O-B-S.
Yeah.
Comic Noobs Show. He said he just retweeted our iTunes page, and he said they read bad comics to us. It's amazing.
Thank you.
Also, Mark Hershon, former guest of the show.
Mm-hmm.
He has a podcast called Succotash that he reviews comedy podcasts, or he calls them soundcasts. That's his thing. And he gave us love on Twitter at both Hershco and that's Hershco at Hershco and at Succotash Show. And he also gave us a little mention, didn't give us a review, but he gave us a mention in his weekly Huffington Post column.
Yeah.
Along with such other great, respectable podcasts as Bronzeville, and I'm meaning that in 100% sincerity, because that show is actually very well produced and has very good production, as opposed to me and Jen just yelling into our computer. We're not yelling.
Yeah, we have a microphone.
We
now.
Got a Zoom 6. We're doing pretty good.
I'm talking into a microphone. No, those first couple episodes, though.
Yeah,
it's a lot of laptop shouting.
No, but Hershko, but Bronzeville has been good right off the bat. So, we're in the same
they're
level.
They're a legitimate
of
podcast.
Yeah, they're legitimate with Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah,
you know, with actual people, you know, that have had you know, notable publicists.
Yes.
That we would not discuss on our other podcast.
No, our
Forgotten Publicist
podcast.
Also, Twitter love from D789S101112 at Ryan Daly 01. Ryan Daly, the host of the Batman Nightcast and Power Fishnets on the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
Yes.
Our buddy Martin Gray at Mart Gray, G-R-A-Y. He puts over the JLA versus Animals episode to Firestorm Fan. At Firestorm Fan, because he's like, "Hey, check this out. We talk about
That's
Firestorm.
That's right. We did talk about Firestorm.
We go in on Firestorm. We went on a Firestorm for a few episodes.
Yeah. Well, I mean that JLA one's especially fantastic because that very last panel is just Firestorm be like, "Duh."
Yeah. Yeah, no, we and usually when we do talk about Firestorm, I do try to include the Fire and Water podcast and the Firestorm Fan.
We'll have to do some Aquaman for the water guy.
Yeah, just because I don't know why.
I feel like we haven't really talked about Aquaman a lot.
No, we only did one Aquaman show.
Well, maybe we should find some more Aquaman. I honestly don't see that many Aquamans.
We have some old stuff, but I don't know. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I feel like I see more Namor in the boxes than I do Aquaman.
Yeah, he's like the Marvel water guy.
Yeah, but I don't want to talk about Namor. I'm talking
about
Aquaman.
Namor.
Fuck you, Namor, and your weird wing feet.
I know. I don't like
How
his wing feet.
Work?
I feel like I'll get them caught in something or ripped off.
I just don't understand like how the wing feet make him swim.
I don't know. You'd have to ask him.
Excuse me, Mr. Namor.
Why?
Why?
Also, at Storycraft Pod, at Film Nerd Neil, our buddy Neil Weekly from the Comedy Film Nerds podcast family, at Siskoid, who does a great podcast, great number of podcasts, including one of my favorites, the Invasion podcast, where he talks about the DC crossover Invasion.
Oh, yeah.
From the 80s, and he talks about all the related issues and stuff like that. So there's a lot going on in that one. You should check that one out. I recommend it. Siskoid, Siskoid. Also, the Silver and Gold podcast at SNGPOD4779. I tagged him with regard to our Captain Atom episode because Silver and Gold refers to Captain Atom and Booster Gold.
Oh, okay.
It's a very specific podcast.
Yeah, indeed.
So I tagged
him. They're separate issues or only when they show up together?
No, like separate, like they said, talk about separate things. So like they'll talk about a little bit about him, a little bit about there. They'll find ways to mix it in.
I get it.
You know, and plus, you know, they do intersect.
Did they ever talk about Major Force?
I'm certain they have.
Yeah.
I'm certain Major Force has come up a bit. He does say Pat Broderick brought his A game to this one, referring to the art in that issue.
Oh, yeah.
Which there were some weird moments I did have to point out back to him that, except for the panels where he made.
Don Knotts shows up?
Don Knotts shows up, or he had Dick Sprang art. Nerds Uncanny says, great episode.
Oh, thanks.
Also, retweets and favorites from Mark Sweeney Jr. and Coffee Comics blog. That's Coffee Comics BLG.
Nice.
So those are our Twitter.
Well, thank you, everybody.
Did you find anything on yours?
I mentioned Nick's, and a lot of those I'm also on. Those Twitter, the ones that you're talking about. So yes, but thank you,
and
very much for sending that all over, guys.
And of course, that's Angry Hero Sean on Twitter and
at Jen Stansfield.
Yes. Also, wanted to just point out something real quick on Facebook, on our Facebook page. Chris Lane says, "I can identify with Jen giving up on property
Yeah,
Let me finish this here. I quit buying any of Marvel's direct DVD movies after the last one seemed to be an animated by Flash player or whatever. I still buy DC Premium, but the inclusion of Damian Wayne has taken its toll. That being said, Bruce Timm's over Zack Snyder." Also, what was the name of that other couple with a show discussing the DC Universe?
Yeah, and this was in response to us talking about when the Justice League trailer came out, about how I mentioned that I don't know, after I see Wonder Woman, which I'm going to see on opening night, if Wonder Woman is not good, I don't know if I can continue supporting the DC Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
This might be something that I have to give up because I can't, in good faith, continue to give me their money, give them my money. And Chris agrees with me because, I mean, why are we spending money on movies that are just awful?
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, that was kind of in a comment to that. I myself have also given up on any animated movies from the DC Universe that feature Damian Wayne, because as we know, I fucking hate
him. Apparently, it's all of them.
Yeah, no, well, that's the thing. They're like, oh my god, fucking Damian Wayne.
Because he's in the Titans, he's in Batman.
It irritates the shit out of me. And this is why I don't. First off, he's mean to Alfred, and fuck you, no one's mean to Alfred. And second, I think because he's Batman's son, everybody just fucking jizzes themselves over him because they're like, oh my god, because he's Batman's son, that means he's the best. But it also, in my mind, when you say Damian Wayne is so much more important than anybody else in the Bat family, it completely negates the entire purpose of the Bat family.
Yeah.
The Bat family is the family that Bruce has built up around himself because he didn't actually have one.
Yeah.
So it's Dick. It's Tim. It's Selina in my world, because she is. It's, you know,
it's Alfred.
Spoiler. It's Alfred. It's Batgirl. It's, you know, all of these people that he's taken under his wing and turned into the Bat family. And when you're saying that Damian Wayne is the king shit because he has Batman's DNA, you're completely negating the fact that the Bat family matters because they choose to matter to each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the family that you make, not the family you're born into. So that's why I fucking hate Damian Wayne. Mm-hmm. So fuck you, Damian Wayne. But anyway, continue on.
Oh, no, and I just I put over our fellow podcasters, the Supermates podcast on the Fire and Water Network, Podcast Network, as the show I think he was referring to. So, and let's get to some iTunes reviews. I'm just going to read a few of these because we have a few, but they're quite old. So I guess I'll read like a few, the last four.
Yeah.
Starting from June 2016.
Oh, man.
That was a different time.
Such a different world.
From Wild Beggar, he says, "This is great fun. I had to write a review because I'm one of the people who love the show because they're a couple who are awesome together. Keep up the great work." Thank you.
Thank you. And if you listen to this episode, you can hear me yell at Sean.
Mm-hmm. And I will live forever.
I don't yell at you that much.
No. No, but I had it coming. I'm yammering. Worst collection, he said, and the title of that one was Fun Comic Podcast. We have Dave G7777 back in October 2016. Worst collection, best podcast. Sean and Jen, or Jen and Sean. Ooh, Jen and Sean.
Jen alphabetically.
Jen and Sean have such great chemistry, and it's hilarious to hear them riff on bad comics. A must hear for any comic book geek like myself. Thank you, Dave G.
Thanks, Dave
7777. ATL Wordfinder back in November 2016 says, "Funny and personal. Found out about the show when Sean appeared on Comedy Film Nerds."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I have a similar collection of terrible dollar comics, and it's fun to hear Jen and Sean laugh at these ridiculous relics, but it's almost more enjoyable to hear this married couple hang out as husband and wife and crack each other up. Yeah, I try to make you pop most of the time.
Well, I think that's the whole point of this podcast, is for each one, is for the two of us to make each other laugh.
Yeah, that's pretty much, like, we're pretty much just trying to say the stupidest shit. And then we just go off, and, you know, I don't know how people deal with it. I mean, to be honest, sometimes I'm like, I would just be like, shut the fuck up. Shut up. I'm talking about the goddamn comic I wanted to hear.
No, please tell us more about, what's his...
About the people that may have went to Harvard. Who cares? Just look it up.
What was that guy's name? Something McMahon we were calling him?
Knight McMahon.
Knight McMahon.
Yeah. Malcolm McMahon.
Malcolm McMahon. That's right. The Lost McMahon.
Yeah, our Schuberts are sticking it out with us. Where did I see here? But it's almost enjoyable. Crack each other up. I haven't seen pro wrestling since the 80s, but if you're into that, be assured you'll hear plenty about it. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes, you will.
And I like their brief commentary on politics, comedy scene, etc. Because we're insiders.
Oh, is that it?
It is. I'm in the scene. I got thoughts.
I'm so proud. I have thoughts as well, but I'm I've never been called an insider in my life.
Actually, I do.
Unless,
like,
I am literally inside of something.
Like, yeah,
Jen's in the house. Now I'm an insider.
This is actually my favorite line, and I feel like this really covers us. Mm. This feels more personal and less professional in the best sense.
Oh, no, that's absolutely 100% true.
100%.
There is no professionalism here. Please do not expect any.
Please don't expect us to... I mean, I take the podcast industry and podcasting very seriously.
Uh-huh.
But the thing I'm doing here with Jen is...
we're fucking around here.
Yeah. Like, you want to... get some zaniness going. This is where it's at.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course, last but not least, our good friend of the show, Professor Allen of the Quarterbin podcast. He and the Relatively Geeky podcasts. Mm-hmm. You can look those up on iTunes. He says, I rather enjoy podcasts where folks talk about comics that are super cheap and otherwise forgettable, but aren't always appreciated. The Worst Collection Ever hits that spot for me. Rather enjoyable.
Thank you.
It's kind of in turn of what I said to about his podcast.
Yeah,
you know, and that makes me very happy. So he's putting us over too. So
yeah. So thank you to everybody who's left a review, tweeted us, sent us an email, posted on Facebook.
Yeah, 5-star reviews.
Reached out to us on Instagram.
We have actually Instagram's a thing I've never really talked about. And on the show as much, because I get a lot of, usually I'll post stuff on Instagram, a lot of comic book pictures.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll post stuff about the show, and we get a lot of play from that.
Yeah.
We have some very loyal followers on Instagram. So if you want to come join us there, if you got an account, please do. So.
Yeah. And cause Sean does too. And I do as well. We'll post pictures from the comics that we're reading. So come see some ridiculous nonsense.
Oh, there's ridiculous.
Because some of these panels.
There's some beauties from this Nightman book that we did. The Nightman book we did earlier this week.
Yeah.
So you'll have to check that out.
Yeah. So in between pictures of my face and cats, you might see some comic book.
Usually it's the same where I don't do selfies as much. But I do pictures of cats. And maybe pictures of wrestling magazines.
Oh, yeah.
Mostly
you
comics.
Do that. Yeah, yours are mostly comics. There are pictures of my face.
Yeah.
In my feed. Just because, damn it, I'm taking a fucking picture of my face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good face. It's a good face.
Oh, thanks, babe.
It's a wonderful face. It is not the face of a boob.
What if I had just a boob face?
Ooh.
Would it be like Leela in Futurama if you had like a boob face instead of like your eye is like technically the nipple? I don't know how boob faces work, guys.
If you have a boob face, write in.
Let us know how boob faces work.
Worstcollectionever@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. All right. Let's get out of here. We're going to come back next week with a new episode. I believe we're doing our Guardians of the Galaxy, as we mentioned last week, or this past episode. So stick around for that, and we will talk to you again soon.
Bye.